Colossians 1:13 fits our conversion as a family, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His own dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Our story starts in 1927 when my father was in the Belgian Army, universal military training. One night he was out with some Belgian soldier boys, met a young lady, courted her for a few months, looked into her eyes and said, "Wilt thou?" Must have been a hot night. She wilted. It was long after they were married that he said, "You know, we ought to go to America, the land of millionaires. No one in America has to work for a living. They grow fives, tens, fifties, and hundreds on trees. Lift up the bedroom window in the morning, pick it, and live like potentates and kings." No, yes. Let's go. They saved fast and furiously. 2 years later, they had enough to come, crossed the Atlantic Ocean, had the largest container they could get on the ship so that when they got here, they could pick it and fill it. And when they arrived, it was 1929, the time of the Great Depression. Most of you don't remember that like Dr. Jack Rawlings. Years and years and years ago. And they couldn't even find anything to pick, including leaves, and ended up picking sugar beets in Freeport, Michigan, near Grand Rapids, where the Dutch people often settled. How they mumbled, fussed, complained, fumed. Why did we come to America? Had we stayed in Belgium, we would have had it better than we have it in America in the midst of a depression. Why are we here? Let me tell you in preview and then unfold the story. God brought my parents to America so that they might, for the first time, see a Holy Bible. In this great ecumenical surge and push, we are told that the Church of Rome wants people to read their Bibles, but it hasn't always been that way. And they're encouraging it now to get us in, and when we're all in, watch out. And we're all going to be in after the rapture when the true church is gone, according to Revelation 17 and 18. But in my father's day, they were not allowed to have a Bible or to read it. They had never met a born-again Protestant. I use Protestant to help you understand what I'm trying to say. But one day, there was a fellow doing visitation work. And he was an old-fashioned Methodist. God, give us some more of the old-fashioned Methodists. And he was effervescent, bubbling over with the Lord Jesus. Got inside of their house, talked so profusely and rapidly that he never gave them a chance to answer. Hence, did not know they could not speak English. Say, that's real soul-winning, isn't it? But after a while, he noticed a blank look upon their countenances and said, "You don't seem to comprehend or grasp what I'm saying." No, they don't. He said, "All right, look, I have a book called the Holy Bible, which I'm going to give you. Someday when you can read English, God may help you to find His Son Jesus through this. Take it, it's yours." My father took it, thumbed through it a little, said, "Now I have a gift for you." Rushed to his old ice box and pulled out a bottle of homemade brew, beer. Say, that was during Prohibition. He didn't know it was wrong to make liquor because he couldn't read English. Until his best friend got put away in the Georgia chain gang, he quit. But that little fellow said, "No, I'm a Christian, I don't drink." "What?" "I'm a Christian, I don't drink." This was a literal absurdity to my father because he came from the land of Belgium where 98% of them profess to be Christians and even now have one tavern for every 17 families. They drink more than any other race on the face of the earth, percentage-wise. What kind of Christianity is this where a man doesn't drink? You know, my father was mad, angry, indignant, but praise God, when you got someone mad, at least they're thinking. That little Methodist left that day saying, "What's the use? I give away Bibles and they offer me liquor." God says in Isaiah 55:11, "My word shall not return unto me void." 20 years from now, you may be dead and gone, and that tracker Bible you gave in preceding years may reach some heart. Watch. You'll see how it happened. Well, my folks moved to Detroit from Freeport because the Belgian settlement has 40,000 of their race in the city of Detroit, with many of their own bars and nightclubs. So Dad played a little accordion, chromatic type buttons on both sides, and said, "I'll go and take a job in the Belgian nightclubs. I can take a social drink. I don't have to become an alcoholic." You know, that's the way the devil fools a lot of folks. Come on, take that first little drink. Take that first little LSD trip. Take that first jag of marijuana, heroin, and lives are ruined. So Dad started entertaining these places Saturdays and Sundays. started to drink more and more, and soon I didn't know what it was to have a sober father. Every Saturday and Sunday he came home intoxicated, inebriated, drunk. He went on into the next year entertaining more nights, and soon I didn't have a father who knew day from night anymore. And we had hell on earth for 10 years, for that's all liquor can produce. See, we need fellows like Billy Sunday to come back and really preach to us. He used to say, yeah, liquor's all right in its place, but its place is in the bottom of hell. And the church member who takes his liquor in moderation does so because he takes Jesus Christ in moderation. For no man can serve two masters, Matthew 6:24. I saw that father drunk, double up his fist, beat my mother, and I think someday when I get to be a man, you'll pay for this. But the next day when the alcohol wore off, he started to weep and say, did I really act like that last night? I hate liquor. You know, we have a lot of protesting today going on against the Vietnam War. Oh, yes, but there are some 40,000 dead. As far as GIs are concerned, let me shock you for a minute. Do you know that in the same 8-year period, 600,000 have died on American highways, and AAA tells us that 400,000 died because someone was drinking while driving? For every dead GI in the Vietnam War, 10 have been slaughtered on American highways, and no one protests the dirty, rotten liquor profession or racket anymore. God help us. Well, I saw it for 10 years. One day a man started to witness to my father. Thank God for persistent pests who won't leave you alone. Amen. And that man came to my father daily, 3 solid months, telling him about Jesus, and that man was hated by my father. I want to say something to you folks who witness for Jesus Christ. It isn't easy. They'll call you fanatic, idiot, imbecile, moron, every name there is, and it's to be expected because Jesus told us it would happen that way. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you, John 15:19. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:10, we are fools for Christ. Verse 13, we are made as the filth of the world. We're the offscouring of all things unto this day. He said, we're dirt under their feet. And oh, they hate you when you stand for Christ. But you know, when they call you every name there is, rejoice. Jesus said in Matthew 5:10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when men shall revile you, shall persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. I'm going to quit this thing. They scoffed at me at school, the factory the other day. Rejoice. Why? Great is your reward in heaven. Thank God for a little soul winner who years before gave my father a Bible and now another, who was willing to be maligned, vilified, hated for Jesus' sake. After 3 months of witnessing, he gave my father a booklet on Bible prophecy and the coming of Christ. Oscar, read it. All right. My father was reading it. It got to be midnight. He was home alone. He said, oh, if only I had a Bible to see if these things are so. My word shall not return unto me void. The Holy Spirit brought that little Methodist to him who years before came to his home, offered him a Bible, refused liquor. Where is that book? He rushed up to the attic and packed an old trunk on the cover. It said, Holy Bible. Page by page, he thumbed through it till the names at the top corresponded with the names in the booklet. He said, this has to be God's Word. May I divert here for a second? Brother, here is the reason you ought to live a clean, consistent, dedicated, yielded, separated life unto Jesus Christ for your testimony's sake. If that little Methodist had taken that bottle of beer that day, I think my father now would have taken that Bible, thrown it on the floor, given it a kick, and said, he had nothing more than I had or have. But because there was a clean life behind the presentation of that Bible, because the man said, I don't want your liquor. Now my father, an alcoholic, says perhaps the answer concerning deliverance from this stuff is found in this book, because that man didn't touch it. And so page by page, he thumbed through it. He believed it was God's Word, but not knowing how to be saved, when Bill came the next day, Dad threw his arms around him and said, Bill, I want Jesus. Bill didn't know what to think. You know, sometimes we can't believe when God answers our prayers. He said, Oscar, do you really mean it? I really mean it. He said, all right, I'm going to show you God's matchless, peerless, magnificent, yet simple plan of salvation. This is so simple, my friend, that you will not be able to say, I don't get it. Listen, this is the way he explained it to my father. Oscar, first of all, you're a sinner. You know, until you believe you're a sinner, God can't save you. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, 1 Timothy 1:15. Who's that? That's all of us. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one, Romans 3:10. All have sinned, Romans 3:23. The Scripture hath concluded all under sin, Galatians 3:22. That's you. My father looked at him and said, Bill, if any man knows he's a sinner, I know it. Secondly, you deserve the judgment of God for your sin, Oscar, for God is holy and hates sin. And the Bible says the soul that sinneth shall die, Ezekiel 18:4. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death, James 1:15. That begins in a casket and ends up in the second death, which is the lake of fire, Revelation 21:8. Bill, if any man knows that he deserves the judgment of God for his sin, I know it. The way I've lived, the way I've treated my wife and son, the debauchery of it all, I deserve God's judgment. Wait a minute, Oscar. Gospel means good news. And if you're here tonight and you're saying it's hopeless, I can never be saved, if you knew my hideous, heinous past with all of its sin, you'd know I could never be saved. Wait a minute. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. I'm glad that's there. 1 John 1:7. You see, Christ died for our sin, 1 Corinthians 15:3. Who his own self bare our sin in his own body on a tree, 1 Peter 2:24. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood, Revelation 1:5. He said, Oscar, Jesus loves you, and all of this can happen, but you have to receive him. Some of you folks believe every word to this point, but you've never asked Jesus into your heart. Christianity is Christ in you, Colossians 1:27. So you have to receive Him. We don't ask people to come forward as some formalistic, ceremonialistic thing. It's so you can receive Jesus. John 1:12 says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Right there, my Father received Jesus Christ, was gloriously born again. You know what I preached the other night? Let me emphasize it again. Brother, when you're born again, you're changed from head to toe. Amen? You begin to act differently, live differently, talk differently, walk differently, even smell differently. I didn't hear amens then. You see, we said, you must be born again. The new birth. What is it? 2 Peter 1:4 says, when a man is born again, he becomes a partaker of the divine nature. How can God come and live in your body without there being a difference? That's why you're raised to newness of life, Romans 6:4. That's why if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's why whosoever is born of God overcomes the world, 1 John 5:4. The change. My father came home from the factory. He said, Mother, from now on, when you go to the grocery store, don't bring home any more Altus Loger, Rose, Bohemian, Pabst, Blue Ribbon, Johnny Pfeiffer, Schlitzer, Schmaltz. Not even the beer that made Milwaukee famous. Look what it did for me. You know, I get sick of these billboards. A fellow with a nice little mustache and a glass of liquor, and he's called the man of distinction. I'd like to take you to the Skid Row areas of America and show you the men of extinction. There's a big difference. He's on through with this stuff. Now, Dad was only born again for one day. And I'm going to say something, and I mean it with all my heart. When you're born again, you don't always have to hear sermons as to what's right and wrong. Brother, when you get saved, you feel it when it's wrong. That's this God who comes to live in your heart. And the Holy Spirit as well, who can be grieved, Ephesians 4:30, quenched, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. When that Holy Spirit in you is grieved and quenched, you feel what's wrong. Dad said, don't bring it home anymore. He went down to the cellar, got out the blackberry brandy, muscatel wine, Colbert whiskey, put it in a basket, marched it to the alley, and smashed it, said, "I'm through with it." She said, "Now I know he's gone berserk. I couldn't keep him home without a dozen bottles of ice last week." What happened? He got saved. We had religion before. The religion didn't do anything. Jesus did. Oh, what a change. Well, there's some of you folks who say, "Well, I think the Bible's all in favor of drinking alcoholic beverages. You must be reading from the reverse vision." I've got a book that condemns it 611 times. You know what our problem is? This Old Testament was written in Hebrew and the New in Greek. When I stand in front of you tonight and I say wine, you have one connotation in your mind with wine, and that's an alcoholic beverage. Not so among the Hebrews and the Greeks. When a Hebrew said yayin, from which you get your English word wine, or a Greek said oinos, from which you get your English word wine, he meant six different things, depending on the context. He could mean grapes, grape juice, grape syrup, raisins, jam or jelly, or finally alcohol. In your version, and it's sad, you have one word for everything, wine. Even when it's jelly, your version says wine. Even when it's raisins, your version says wine. That's why it looks like you can drink at times, and other times it looks like you can't. Why? When you can, he's talking about raisins. When you can, he's talking about alcohol. Sure, yeah, but I'm not a Greek student. I don't know Hebrew, Leviticus 10:9. It's plain, "Do not drink wine or strong drink. Thou nor thy sons with thee when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation." Why? "That you may put difference between unholy and unholy." What's the holy? God's house. What's unholy? The liquor. He says, don't mix them. Today our bodies are the temples. Let's not mix the holy and the unholy. Proverbs 20, verse 1, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." Proverbs 23, 20, "Be not among wine bibbers," could not possibly mean "be not among jelly eaters." Now could it? Would you say, God? He says, don't be with that crowd. "Who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contention, who hath babblings, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of eyes, they that carry along at the wine." Proverbs 23:29. See, you interpret this one for me. Proverbs 23:31. "Look not on the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright." What does that sound like? Fermentation. I asked that one time at a crusade a few years ago, and a little fellow in front of the seat popped up. He says, "My mother's jelly." I said, "That must be powerful stuff, sonny." What's the point? You may look on wine when it's juice, but he says, when your juice turns red and ferments, don't look at it. Isaiah 5:11, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink and continue till night, till wine inflame them." Isaiah 5:22, "Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink." Hosea 4:11, "Whoredom and wine, women and liquor, take away the heart from God. And the judgment of God is on every man who makes it, on every woman who sells it, who serves it, even as a waitress in a restaurant." Brother, if you're born again Christian, get a new job. I was holding a meeting in Pekin, Illinois, in an IFCA, separatist church, and two of the deacons' wives were bottling the stuff at the brewery. This is, yes, but it's so much easier to witness there because they're all sinners, baloney. It's one of the extra few shekels. Ah, listen, when you know Jesus Christ, get a job that glorifies your Lord. My God says in Habakkuk 2:15, "Woe unto him that gives his neighbor drink and puts the bottle to him and makes him drunken." The word woe meaning a curse. God says, "My curse is on the man who gives someone else liquor." Why? No drunkard can inherit the kingdom of heaven. 1 Corinthians 6:9. There are 6 to 8 million drunkards in America tonight who are eternally lost unless they turn to Jesus Christ, get saved, and quit drink. Wouldn't it be a sad thing if a born-again Christian from Thomas Road Baptist Church worked in a brewery, sold booze, or got into the hands of one of these people and their soul was doomed because you, a Christian, helped them get it. That's why we ought to be different. Dad's run through with this stuff. A few more weeks passed, he was getting more fanatical. He said, Mother, from now on, when you go to the grocery store, don't bring home any more old gold Lucky Strike Philip Morris Chesterfields. Now, I'm going to talk to you folks who say you know Jesus. Brother, you ought to get rid of that dirty habit. You say, well, don't you believe a Christian can smoke and go to heaven? Yes, and sooner too. Through cancer or something else. Now, I'm not talking about your salvation. I want to get one thing clear. There's too much wrong emphasis today in preaching. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and quit Lucky Strikes and thou shalt be saved. That becomes salvation by works. For anything you quit to get to heaven is works, and the Bible says not by works, Titus 3:5. The emphasis is this. You come to Jesus with your tobacco, with drugs, with every habit. Don't try to get rid of it. Come just as you are. That's why we sing, just as I am. You can't quit these things without Jesus' help anyway. And then when He comes in, these things ought to begin to drop off as you grow in grace. 2 Peter 3:18. Some of you folks who've been running around with the same filthy, unclean habits for years, and there's never been any kind of change, something's wrong. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Now, this hinders your testimony. Look, even Dick Tracy is hitting it. You know, there was a time when preachers preached against tobacco. They were considered fanatics and squares. Now the preachers have quit preaching it, and Dick Tracy's doing it. Now, I want to thank Jim Soward for the research work. A few years ago, or a year ago, this cat had a big cigar in its mouth. You remember? Ooh. That cat's breath is awful. Ugh. What, again? Yes, that reminds me. Take that cat to the sanitarium and have it broken of the tobacco habit. And the cat's got a big cigar sticking out of his mouth. You can't be serious. Yes, ugly Christine, I'm serious. Break that cat of smoking. Having a destructive cat is bad enough, but a cat with a tobacco breath is too much. Thank you, Dick Tracy. Hope your cat's got the message.
Oh, I don't see anything wrong with it.
You never will. You don't want to. Look, when the American Cancer Society, the American Heart Society, the American Respiratory Society, the American Tuberculosis Society is bombarding it from morning till night on television, telling you it's no good, it's harmful, it's unclean, and they do it apart from the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then you say, I'm a Christian, the Holy Spirit fills my life, but I don't see anything wrong with it. Something's wrong. 23 nations of the world no longer allow cigarette advertising. One of them, Russia. How can an ungodly, atheistic country say it's rotten, it hurts, we won't allow it to be advertised, and they have nothing, don't even believe in a God, and then we hear Christians saying, there's nothing wrong with it. You see, it doesn't add up. They have more light without God than you have with the Lord and the Holy Spirit? You don't want to listen. In every cigarette, there are 19 poisons, nicotine, acrolein, pyridine, prussic acid, carbon monoxide, furfural, and 13 others, causing lung cancer.
Oh, you get that from exhaust pipes.
You'd have to stick your nose in one for a whole week. And you wouldn't live to tell it. Number two, emphysema. What's that? That's this. Webster's Dictionary. You have 750,000 cells that pull in oxygen and throw out poisons, which rupture, causing the hacking, emphysemic cough, Berger's disease, respiratory infection. Look, it's no good. Well, Brother Van Impe, I can smoke anywhere but here in God's house. Have you ever said that? I hope you have. Then I've got you where I want you. Is this God's house? And Thomas Road, one of the most beautiful places I've seen in a long time. But there isn't a cathedral, synagogue, or Protestant church building anywhere where God lives. You know, some of us Protestants foolishly today say, worship in the holy sanctuary. Come on, a sanctuary dispenses grace. No building of bricks can do that. The Most High God dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Acts 7:48. This one was made with hands. He doesn't live in this building. God, who made the world and all things therein, seeing He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. You know what makes this building precious to God? Is the Christian coming in with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in His body. This is the temple. You are God's building, 1 Corinthians 2:9. Know you not that your body is the temple of God, 1 Corinthians 3:16. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? 1 Corinthians 6:19. That's where He lives, and it ought to be kept clean. Your testimony will never be what it ought to be, sir. Listen. Hundreds of men, thousands are hearing you must quit from medical doctors. But like you, they're tied to it, slaves. They can't quit. It takes the power of God to quit. So they know you're a Christian. They know you're a member of this church. And they say, say, I've got to quit and I can't quit. I know you're a Christian. What's the answer? And you hang your head and say, well, write to Chicago for a box of Bantron. How much better to say the power of Jesus Christ set me free, liberated me from this habit, and can set you free. Amen? I don't care if it's tobacco or anything else. The Lord can still set you free and make your testimony what it ought to be. And it can't be until you're cleaned up. I'm talking about salvation now. I'm talking about just having a clean, consecrated testimony. Still love me? Oh, how God changed my father. All the cursing, all the swearing, all the wild parties, everything finished. And one night he said, Mother, how about going to church with me? She laughed behind his back. She said, I know he's gone crazy, but I love it. I haven't had a spanking in 4 weeks. That night she went. The minister said, is there anyone here who wants Jesus Christ as a Savior? She raised her hand. He said, we're going to sing and invite you forward. She did. Go forward and receive Christ. I grew up in a home where I had a modern 20th century mother, a woman with a cocktail glass in one hand and a cigarette in another hand. You know, some of you young people don't realize how fortunate you are to have born-again dads and moms. I look at the Merck family. What a wonderful example, mom and dad. I didn't have that. You say, I can hardly wait to get out of this place. My parents, I'm sick of this old-time religion. I wish you could have had for about 6 months what I had. Drinking, wild parties, filthy language, dirty jokes, everything from the time I was a little boy growing up watching it. The nightclubs would close at 2 in the morning. They'd come to our house and stay the rest of the night. Now my mother saved and the cocktail glass and cigarette and everything's gone. Now, I saw my mother inebriated, drunk many times. Not constantly, but I could conservatively say 50 different occasions where she had to have help to get to the car. You know, some people say, oh, you Christians, you miss all the fun when you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Really? You don't know how pitiful it is to see a mother and father stagger to the car together and the three of us sleep in the car all night because they can't find their way home. On one occasion, they got home, got into an argument, mother got in the house first, slammed the door, and dad staggered around for a while. Decided to lay in the field all night, 45-degree weather. Man said to him not long ago, oh, you're one of these crazy Christians missing all the fun in life. He said, you're right. Do I ever miss sleeping in the fields in 45-degree weather? They call that living. Christ saved those two parents. Mother, give your daughter a real example. As the mother, so is the daughter. Ezekiel 16:44. Set an example. One day I came home, my parents were down on their knees praying. Say, we lived across the street from a Baptist church for 10 years. Fundamental, sound asleep. Visitation work and missed the Lone Ranger? You couldn't get those Christians out to do anything. You know what's sad? When Roman Catholic people live in front of the door of a Baptist church for 10 years and no one ever walks across the street and says, will you come? You know, the Lord must be awfully happy with a church like Thomas Road where you just wear the shoe leather off, going to the same houses and finally say, brother, won't you leave me alone? Praise the Lord for that kind of Christianity. No one walked across the street in 10 years from that little Baptist church. It was gospel preaching. That church hadn't seen anyone come down the aisle for years. A mouse coming forward. Any kind of movement would have been a blessing there. Some of our churches are about that dead, aren't they? Lo and behold, my parents are praying, God save Jack. We brought him up the wrong way. They don't know I'm there listening and I'm beginning to weep. I've never heard anything like that from the lips of my parents. What's happened? God, we brought Jack up the wrong way. What did they mean? From the time I was 5, I had my first accordion. By the age of 8, they had me playing the dance tunes of the day. And then the hat would be passed as I was featured for 15-minute spots on Saturdays and Sundays. You've heard it said that French children are allowed to drink liquor right in the home at the table. Well, the Belgians drink more than the French. And I don't care what kind of liquor or brandy my father had. It was right there on the table. I could have my share. I never had to sneak anything. What I'm about to say, I'm ashamed to say, but if it helps some teenagers, it'll be worth it. You know, some of you teenagers say, boy, I'm really a he-man. I can hold my liquor. Dad doesn't know it. I can take an LSD trip. I'm really something. Are you? Doesn't take a man to do those things. Twice before I was 13 years old, my father gave me so much liquor from his own glass in the nightclubs. Being a minor, under 21, unable to procure it, I had to drink from his glass. But twice I went into unconsciousness and Dad, in his drunken condition, carried me out. If a boy 13 can do it, then anyone who can swallow can get drunk. It doesn't take a man. In fact, if you think it takes a man... When my folks were gone, sometimes I experimented. And one day I saw a bottle of liquor. I saw my Tomcat in a bowl of milk. And I said, I wonder. I got news for you, He-Man. My Tomcat could do it. And I'm sure that he could have taken an LSD trip if I had stuffed a pill in his mouth. It takes a man to say, no, sir, I belong to Jesus Christ. Here's a little boy who appeared before New York authorities within the last 12 months. He weighed 48 pounds, was 12 years of age, and was on marijuana and heroin for 6 months. If a little 12-year-old boy can do it, then anybody can do it. It takes a man to say, no, sir, I'm a Christian. God save Jack. When they got up from their knees, I said, Dad, Mother, what did you have? They said, Jesus. I said, how can I get what you've got? They said, go to the little Baptist church next Sunday. I could hardly wait. I had breakfast paced back and forth across the floor. 1 hour before Sunday school was even to begin, I saw a man go into the building. Dad, what's that word? Saved. I said, here I go. They didn't sing 18 stanzas of softly and tenderly for me. I can still see him at the pulpit. They hadn't been saved in that church for years. I walked up there and tapped him on the shoulder and said, saved! I want to get saved! Isn't time yet! He took me to the prayer room, a GI home on furlough, on his knees, was praying, and they opened the door and said, this young fellow wants Jesus. He showed me that same plan of salvation. You're a sinner. Jesus died for you. You have to receive my did. Teenager, you talk about a thrill. I could have landed on the moon that night without a spaceship. Isn't it wonderful to get saved? You know why some of you young people and others are so unhappy? Ah, that religion, I can hardly wait to get out of the house. and you want to run to every ungodly place there is in town, you know the problem? You're a second generation Protestant. When you really get converted, brother, you want to live for the Lord. I don't care what age you are. I used to have a routine. I'd go to morning mass, come home and eat. Then I'd head to a theater, 12:45, 3:30, then to the Flamingo Theater, 7 Mile and Gratiot in Detroit, Michigan. Stay there till about 7:30, come home, and the folks would get ready for the nightclubs. They weren't going to nightclubs anymore. I got saved this morning. I went home and ate, and I was sitting in the Ramona Theater at 6 Mile Road and Gratiot in Detroit. This is my own testimony now. And I got so miserable, disturbed, perturbed, frustrated that I had to get up during the middle of the movie and get out. I used to sit through two of those every Sunday alone, and now I'm 2 hours old in Jesus and I have to get up and get out. No one ever preached that these things were wrong to me. I had heard my first gospel song that morning, my first few Bible verses. But brother, the Lord saved me, the Holy Spirit was here, and I felt when I was in the wrong place. And I got up and got out, and that's over 20-some years ago, and I haven't been back. And today, when movies are so filthy, dirty, lurid, lascivious, you see church members lined up across America. God help us, we need a revival. I'm sick of these Christian periodicals and magazines that are advertising movies and all the rest. The Church of Jesus Christ needs to be called back to where it once was. That's why we don't have power. Now look, I was only 2 hours old in Jesus. I was so ignorant of the Bible that I didn't even know John 3:16. So ignorant of the Bible that I thought an apostle and an epistle were husband and wife. That's dumb. But I knew I was in the wrong place. I want to show you some stuff that'll shock you. Some of you might say to yourself, these things ought not to be preached from the pulpits. But unless I do preach them, there will be scores still defending all of this rot. A movie was shown in New York City called A Stranger Knocks, where actor and actress were performing adultery in the nude. New Yorkers rebelled. The court's decision, from now on, anything may be shown nude. Now watch these articles. I'm not talking through my hat. You can find this stuff daily in your newspapers. Movie censorship board appears to be tottering. Absolute taboos axed, a new code on films, done away with in a new code are specific taboos on lustful kissing, complete nakedness, and passions that stimulate the baser animal emotions. Why? Of the 45-point communist goal to destroy America, here is point 24, 25, and 26, and maybe you'll understand a little bit more now about our movies and modern music. This is a plan. To destroy the Western Hemisphere internally, to make us fall like the Roman Empire without a war. Point 24, eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and violation of free speech and press. 25, break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, movies, and television. 26, present homosexuality, men with men, degeneracy, promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. And, brother, they're winning. Here are psychiatrists. I'm not quoting one Christian. I never do in this message. Why? So you won't go out saying, well, that's what the church says. That's what the ministers say. These are unsaved psychiatrists, psychologists, sociologists, educators who see something rotten in our modern amusements while the church member sings the theme song. I don't see anything wrong with it. Listen. Dr. Van Precht, a member of the American Academy of Psychosomatic Medicine, said movies are disgraceful. Dr. Marshall Perlman, another New York psychologist, was equally pessimistic. He said movies are declining rapidly. He has a private practice in New York City and is assistant professor of psychology at Yeshiva University. Movies are built around violence and sex. Dr. Harold Greenwald, another New York psychologist equally concerned, said there is no type of killing barred from movies today. Mutilation, decapitation, suicide, hanging, vicious beating. There's no saying how far this sadism will go. There is no relief in sight. Nationally syndicated article by Phyllis Patel, Is Morality Dead? Movies are barer than ever. The fact is people do make love with their clothes off, and the movies are getting the picture. Here is Newsweek. 4 solid pages where they name the movies and condemn them. And the psychiatrists and psychologists, and I don't want to take time for all of this tonight, repeatedly say in this article, if there's not a change soon, we're going to crumble like the Roman Empire. Dr. Max Rafferty, today's movies a toss-up between nastiness and nausea. Celebrity stripping becomes the newest rage. Sex and the Arts going steady. Carol Baker, 5 movies where she wears nothing. Alka Summer, 25 movies in which she appears where she has on no clothing. She was asked about it. I'm not against exposure of my body under the proper circumstances when the body is aesthetically beautiful and when the purpose is to delight and not excite. Pretty good if you can do it, Alky. James Valenti. We might have approved blow up if the scene in question hadn't been so long. I don't mean the scene in which Vanessa Redgrave, the star, was naked. That's not offensive to an audience. We still could not pass the scene in which a group of teenage girls were completely nude. And my friend, I promise you, for I'm keeping up on articles, I'm having them clipped all over America, they're sending me everything, that in the next 24 months, you won't be able to find one movie without a 5-minute, naked, vile, dirty scene. And as a child of God, I'd never lay $3 on the counter for the one good Walt Disney movie to support all the trash that's coming the next few months. Amen? Raquel Welch, Shoot Loud Louder, strips down to her bathing suit. Here's a blasphemous attack on the virgin birth. Rosemary's Baby. Not only does she have a nude scene, but get it, the baby born to her is through a relationship when one night Satan visits her. So it's the birth of Satan's son. What a blasphemous attack on the Son of God who came to the Virgin Mary. Miss Cotton, a colored actress, was asked about her naked scene in Cotton. And I want you to get it. Dwelling reluctantly on her extended naked scene in Cotton, she said, why not? Every girl who got an Oscar last year, the cover of the award, was naked. That's how dirty and rotten this industry is. Rotten to the core. Christian, you ought to do a lot of thinking before you support them. Jane Fonda, they ought to lock her up for the rest of her life. She's done practically a whole movie, Barbara Elle in the nude. Susanna York, Liza Minnelli, Barbara Streisand, and even Charlton Heston in Planet of the Apes, who plays the part of God, runs around without clothes. A blasphemer. That's Hollywood. So much so that the senior editor of Look magazine went to see movies for 2 solid weeks. He sat in something like 25 different movies and said, I was a sick man. Sex, 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 sex. Nakedness. Every act known. And then he asked, what's coming next? Up until this moment, most of this nudity has been in little side art theaters. But brother, right now it's coming to the major theaters, and this black is beautiful downtown in your own city tonight is one of these filthy nudies. Would to God we'd raise up and do something about it in our cities. But now it's coming to the big ones. An X rating for the movie version of the 7 minutes. This is the first time a major studio, 20th Century Fox, makes an honest effort to show 7 minutes of sex in the nude. God help us. This packet's so filthy. I only allow ministers to look at it, but this is what's coming, and every act known to the human race is going to be done in the nude in the next 24 months. Oh, you say there are a lot of young people here. Be careful. Wait a minute. Here's Hollywood, a 13-year-old girl who seduces her own father called Melinda. Wait a minute. The teachers in many of our schools across America are busing our students in English classes to see the modern version of Romeo and Juliet. They're both 15 and 16 years of age, and they have a naked scene in the movie, and they're taking them by the busloads from our schools. Three moneymakers, the Fox, Canada, the killing of Sister George, Great Britain, Teresa and Isabel, France, have convinced Italian producers this is what the public wants, and 25 are coming to America. Question. Why are so many films on the theme of lesbianism being made? Women with women. Read Romans 1:27. Three moneymakers, the Fox, Canada, the killing of Sister George, Great Britain, Teresa and Isabel, France, have convinced Italian producers this is what the public wants. And 25 are coming to America in the next few months. Perverted, defiled, twisted, everything, anything. And when you pay for the one Walt Disney, brother, you're paying for that garbage. Don't forget it. Question. Why is starlet Lynn Hayden being tooted as number one nymphet? Linda plays the lead in a British film, Baby Love. It's about an oversexed teeny bobber who takes all everything in sight. She seduces a schoolboy, then his father, and ends up with his mother. And that's the filth of Hollywood. Jim Bishop, nationally syndicated article, six films going too far. We could go on and on. Reader's Digest, sick movies, a menace to children. Phyllis Patel talks about the trash of it once again. And Joan Beck in her syndicated article says, don't count on finding one good movie for young people. Every film for the next few months runs heavily to illicit sex and violence. If it's not good for a teenager, it's not good for a born-again Christian whose body is the temple of the Holy Ghost and who wants to honor Jesus Christ. Amen? Oh, brother, that's negative preaching. When God burdened my heart 17 years to go to memorize the New Testament, I memorized all the negative verses with it. I found out that there are plenty of them, and I'm going to either be negatively positive or positively negative, but I'm going to preach the book. Jesus said, if a man looks on a woman to lust after her, he's committed adultery with her already in his heart. Matthew 5:28, what? If you look and thoughts go on in your desire, you're guilty of mental adultery. What red-blooded young man can go into a movie house and see these passionate love scenes in the nude and come out the same he was as when he went in? And the law officers across America say that the worst places are these drive-ins in the last 10 rows on Saturdays and Sundays. Parents, be careful who takes your daughter and where. You ought to have some standards in your home. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against your soul, 1 Peter 2:11. You see, that's negative preaching, but it's Bible preaching. Romans 13:14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for your flesh to fulfill its desires. None. None. Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of your flesh. Well, I was all through with it from that day on. The Lord took everything out of my life. I thought there was only one thing I couldn't quit, and that was the dance. Because I loved to dance? No. Because of the hundreds of dollars we had tied up in accordions and music. I'll never forget the day my father took my hand and said, son, I never again want to play in another bar or nightclub. Neither do I, Dad. Shall we sell our accordions? Certainly. You know what? We didn't know we could even use our accordions in the Lord's work till later. And I was willing to quit it all because I fell in love with Jesus Christ, teenager. You say, Jack, what's wrong with the dance and all that goes with it? Now I want every teenager to get it now in the next few minutes before we close. Please, this is your part of the message. Number one, dancing is usually tied in with drinking and liquor. And my Bible says, be not among jelly eaters. Remember? Number two, the music. Now, if you were just to obey the verses I'm about to quote, you'd have very little trouble with all this jungle music from Africa. Sing a new song unto Him. Psalm 33:3. He's put a new song in my mouth, praise to my God, Psalm 40, verse 3. You can tell which Christian is filled by the Spirit by the songs he sings. Did you know that? Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. What happens when you are? speaking yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. James 5:13, is any among you happy? Let him sing psalms to the Lord. 150 verses like that in your Bible. To the Lord, to the Lord, to the Lord. This music of the Beatles, Herman's Hermits, the Pugs, and all the rest of them is garbage!
I can hardly wait till this service. I'm going to tell you.
Let's let Herman speak for himself. Our music is rubbish, but it's making us millionaires. Thank you, Herman. May I get serious with you? Usually I'd be through preaching right at this minute. But I want to take a few extra minutes tonight to explain this rock music. For it's sweeping the country. And to me it's the most damnable music ever invented that ever has come out of the pit of hell. You don't realize it. Most Christians don't. I held a crusade in Ann Arbor, Michigan last April, where they came from that university, SDS. They stood around me in swarms. They never talked to me with their beards and open shirts. They snapped pictures, kept walking in circles around me at this great citywide crusade. I had to have 6 bodyguards nightly to get to the car. In 3 citywide crusades, I've had to have police protection already, and it's going to get worse. And I'm going to tell you that a lot of our problem goes right to this rock music. Art Linkletter, when his daughter died from all of this LSD, said, "I don't blame it on drugs alone. It's this rotten music." Pushing the drug habit. Getting them all excited. What do they mean? This has been passed out to every high school. And I'll tell you more about this next Monday night in my message, Mark for Death. Every high school in the Ann Arbor, Ypsilanti, Detroit area. The 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old, it's the filthiest thing I've ever read. I don't even let anyone but ministers read it because it'll pollute your mind. I've crossed out words so I won't even misquote myself. It's literally full of these 4-letter words, but I want you to hear what the leader of the White Panthers, another militant group getting ready for the revolution, the leader who's now serving a sentence for marijuana, says about rock music. Don't get mad at the preacher. They have 10 points in their goals to destroy this nation. Number 2, total assault on the culture by any means necessary, including rock music, dope, and sex in the streets. Open sex on every street corner from coast to coast is the plan for 1974. I've got all the evidence for next Monday night. Number 8, free all prisoners everywhere. They are our brothers. Our program is cultural revolution through a total assault on the culture, which makes use of every tool, every energy, every media we can get our hands on. For the first time in America, we have a generation of visionary, maniac, white mother, country, dope fiend, rock and roll freaks who are ready to get down and kick out the jams, all the jams. Our program of rock and roll, dope and sexual intercourse in the streets is a program of total freedom for everyone. We are totally committed to carrying out our program. We breathe revolution. We are LSD-driven maniacs in the universe. We'll do anything we can to drive people crazy out of their heads into their bodies. Rock and roll music is the spearhead of our attack because it's so effective. We don't have guns yet. Not all of us. Because we have something more powerful to ruin the teenagers, and that's rock and roll music. You can listen to a man like that? Plus, he's the leader of the MC5, the biggest rock band in Michigan before going to prison. You want to hear what Jerry Rubin says? How many of you know who Jerry Rubin is? Let me see your hand. He was one of the members of this conspiracy, seven trials, wrote the book, Do It. It's the filthiest book on record. 715 four-letter words in about 100 and some pages. Listen, here's the page number. He's saying it, and he's heading up for the revolution that they plan within 18 months. Page 18, Elvis Presley ripped off by turning our uptight young awakening bodies around. Hard animal rock energy beats surged hot through us, the driving rhythm arousing repressed passions. Elvis said, let go, let go, let go. Affluent culture, by producing a car and car radio for every middle-class home, gave Elvis and his music a base for recruiting. This is Jerry Rubin speaking of the Conspiracy 7 trial, not a preacher. While a car radio in the front seat played Turn Me Loose, young kids in the back seat were breaking loose. Many a night was spent on dark, lonely roads having sex to the rock beat. The back seat produced the sexual revolution, and the car radio's music was the medium. So the back seat became the first battleground in the war between the generations, and rock and roll marked the beginning of the revolution. Page 28, what would happen if the white ideological left group took power? Rock, dancing, miniskirts, and Hollywood movies would be taboo. Can you imagine a fellow like that saying that? Page 162, the impulsive beast of our bodies, the spirit of pure, unprovoked music, has been domesticated for profit. Rock music must give birth to orgasm and revolution, sex and revolution. Listen to his closing statement, page 253. Every high school and college in America will soon close with riots and sabotage. If you're reading your papers and this week's Newsweek and the rest, they are really expecting a lot of bombings in the high schools from coast to coast. This is the plan. Millions of young people will soon surge into the streets of every city, dancing, singing, smoking pot, and having sex to rock music. I don't want anything to do with it. How about you? Here is Mike Quattro, one of the leading producers of rock. He says, this music now in style motivates you internally, gives you a sensual feeling. A girl can be turned on by the music. It releases her inhibitions. Why? You want a real shot? The beat of the drum, perfected in most of our rock numbers, is the beat we have taken from the fertility rites from the African jungles. To get the women stirred up for the fertility rites in Africa, the same beat they have taken and put in our music. Rock. And then we hear it in the house of God on the Lord's Day. Same beat. 400 teenage girls, 12 to 16, illegitimate babies in Detroit, Michigan, Detroit Free Press, telling us why. The beat, not just the words. Unwed mothers who tune into rock music says it turns them on to premarital sex. According to a study of 400 pregnant teenagers by Dr. Priscilla Schiller of Washington, provocative lyrics is only part of it. The girls studied, age 12 to 16, said the insistent beat got them excited. It's not for the child of God. I could go on and on. Sing a new song unto Him. Amen? Every rock number, and I've just analyzed 150 to 200 of them, has to do with either drugs, sex, or the coming revolution. Now, you parents hear all that jangled noise and you don't know the difference. Go home and see if your kids have some of these in the house tonight. Revolution, drugs, sex. Let's start with drugs. Running around the world. Get off my cloud. Straight shooter. Acapulco gold. A day in the life. A little help from my friends. Bend me. Shape me. Blue cheer. Express to your head. Faster than the speed of life. Glass onion. I had too much to dream. Journey to the center of the mind. Magic carpet ride. Magical mystery tour. Mary Jane. Merry-go-round. Norwegian wood. Rose-colored glasses. Making up. Light my fire. One, two, three. Red lights. Revolution.
The chimes of freedom. The cities are burning. War blues. Burn, baby, burn. The time will come. There's a war on Street Fighting Man. Ballad of Ho Chi Minh. Song after song, so much so that Art Linkletter said, I don't just blame the death of my girl on that LSD trip. It was this music with its beat getting her ready for it. You know what I'd love to see? What I've seen across America so often. Teenagers coming to the church with their records at Dave Allen's church at Hazel Park. We must have had $3,000 worth as we had a record-breaking party, brother. Oh, you're a real fanatic. When the magicians got saved, Paul had a bonfire and they burned their books. Acts 19:18-20. Let's do the same with that garbage called music. I want nothing to do with the dance because of the liquor, because of the music, finally, because it's based on sex and with this I'm through. If it isn't based on sex, why don't we have a sign over the dance hall that says dance for men only? The crowd wouldn't be very big, and the ones who came I wouldn't trust. Why don't we have a sign over the dance hall that says dance with your wife only? Oh, brother, how ridiculous. Yeah, but that's scriptural. It's good for a man not to touch a woman, to avoid fornication. Let every man have his own wife. Let every woman have her own husband. 1 Corinthians 7:1. Hands off otherwise. Now, I know what the arguments are. And I've got 20 names of psychiatrists who tell that this dance thing leads to sex. No getting around it. Oh, yeah, Ben, if I can agree that the old-time ballroom dancing where they held one another, you know... Yeah, that I agree. That's just a hug set to music with someone else's wife. But Jack and this new kind of dancing, rock and everything, man, we never get near one another. You know? All right, I'm going to tell you, young lady, something. Forgive me for doing it. Every wiggle, shake, gyration, bodily movement is the same thing that they've been doing in the burlesque shows for years to get men excited. Only they do it with a little less clothing, and now you're really going to get mad that I'm going to preach the truth if the miniskirts get any minier, brother. God help the Church of Jesus Christ. You know, as a Roman Catholic, they covered their heads. Baptist churches give you a fit. Why don't you preach the Bible? I do, but nobody wants to believe it anymore, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel as women professing godliness. 1 Timothy 2. You ought to cover yourself, sister, if you really love Jesus Christ. You see, men are made a little differently. God made man to do the chase thing, and it all goes on in the eye gate with a man. And if there's a man who's here tonight and he says, I can see a young lady with her miniskirt almost up to her hips, standing or sitting, it doesn't bother me at all, I want to meet you. I'll pay for your physical. No. Or else you're already walking around in your glorified body. Oh, you don't like what I say? All right, come on now. Mary Quant created the miniskirt. She's the designer of the dress some of you girls have on, and some of you mothers, God forgive you. You're not setting much of an example. She was asked why she did it. Am I fair? She sang it. She made it. She ought to know. I hate to read this article, but I have to. Am I the only woman who ever wanted to go to bed with a man in the afternoon? Any law-abiding female used to think she had to wait until dark, but there are a lot of us girls who won't wait until night. We'll go in the afternoon, and my mini-dresses picture this kind of woman. She said it. This is the latest report. You cannot even copy this. You're not allowed to use it in print as yet. It comes from the Law Officers of America and a Hollywood Report as well. 181 major cities have just been polled on the miniskirt through the law offices of this nation. Want to hear the report? While many sex crimes are committed by mentally twisted people for motives that only a psychiatrist can begin to understand, 98% of the police officers in 181 cities agreed that perfectly normal men and boys are goaded into criminal attacks, rape, by the arousal resulting from the woman's short dresses. U.S. 92% increase in rape since the miniskirt, 6 years. 83% of the lawmen surveyed agreed a normally sexed young man will be likely to think in the direction of the act by the striptease effects of the dresses you girls wear. In this instance, because women do not understand how the man's eye works and what arouses him, think they're not asking for trouble when they wear a mini dress. And I want to say to you ladies right now that if my Savior said in Matthew 5:28 that when a man looks, he's guilty of mental adultery, if he says, I wish, and you wear the kind of clothes that make him think it, God will hold you responsible. Brother, your body belongs to Jesus Christ, and you ought to glorify Him through it. But I'm telling you something. Dr. Falwell, I'm tired of preaching on ministry. Nobody will listen. I can preach this, and the next night they're right in the front row and tell me again, claiming to love Jesus Christ. I'm beginning to wonder if it does any good anymore, even when we're preaching the book that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Could we go home and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit tonight and add a couple of inches to our dresses? Amen. I don't have mean to look old-fashioned. My wife is sharp as any woman alive. But she honors and glorifies Jesus Christ through her dress. She can still look sharp. I believe in it. That's what's wrong with the dance. The liquor, the music, the sex. Oh, abstain from all appearance of evil. You know, after we got saved, we thought everyone would be happy. When my father was drunk, beating my mother, they'd slap him on the back and sing, for he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow. Then he became a Christian, and they said, he's gone crazy. What we have in Jesus is being crazy. We're going to stay crazy. I closed. My parents went to the mission field. I never had a relative in America, except my mother and dad. You don't know how I hugged them with everything I had the morning they left. 5 years they'd be away. The Korean War was on and they said it might spread to Europe. My father's brother was beheaded in Hitler's camps. Every male relative I have in Belgium was brought home on a stretcher. Having lost from 80 to 100 pounds, they couldn't walk anymore. And now I could visualize my mother and father going to a prison camp, perhaps dying, and that morning when they left, I said, Dad, Mother, I love you. I'm never going to see you again. I'm never going to see you again. You don't realize how much you love them until you think it's the last time. My father wiped my tears away, and he said, Son, a few years ago in the nightclub business, had we died, we wouldn't have met again. But the Lord gave us eternal life. If we never meet again here, Mother and I will be waiting for you over there. Say, it's wonderful to know you're saved. Some of you ought to get saved tonight. People say to me, are there folks today in citywide crusades getting saved in this kind of message? You bet your life. People today are sick of these religious country clubs that they call church. People are sick of their churches having bingo games, card parties, dances, and all the rest that goes with it. And people today are looking for a church that stands for Jesus Christ and a clean life. And they say when they hear messages like this, that's the kind of salvation experience I want. And some of you want it tonight.
that Jesus into your heart. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, move mightily in our midst. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, if you would like to receive the Lord Jesus tonight, would you pray this prayer? Lord Jesus, come into my heart. God, I'm sick of just being a church member. I want something real tonight. I want an experience with the Son of God. Come into my heart. Would you pray it? And some of you are backsliders away from God. Just say, Jack, I'm sick of living for the world and I'm coming home. I've tried the world and it's an empty bubble. I'm coming home. Would you pray this? Lord, I'm coming back tonight. And some of you will say, God, take the dance out of my life. Rock and roll, Hollywood movies, tobacco, drugs, liquor. Take it out right now, Lord. Some of you men, would you pray that? God, give me the victory over tobacco tonight. I know how much greater my testimony would be. Take it out, Lord. If you want to get saved, get right with the Lord, ask God to take these things out of your life. Would you raise a hand for prayer? Whatever you need, let me see it. Slip it up all over this auditorium. Who'll be first? Come on. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just hold them. God bless you, sir, over there. Teens, dads, mothers, God, take this out of my life. God, save me. Who else, please? I've seen five or six. How many of you tonight can say, Jack, I know it's real. God, save me, and God, clean my life up. When you get born again, God begins to remove things out of your life, and it's the proof one gets saved when He cleans you up. These things ought to be dropping off, and I know that I'm saved. I know if I were to die, I'd be with the Savior. Let me see your hand. I know. Amen. Thank you. Now, if you don't know, or you want to get right with God, you want the Lord to take some habit or some worldly thing out of your life, would you raise it right now? Who else, please? Come on. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you over there. Who else? Raise it up, will you? God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you in the back there. Yes. Thank you, sir. All right. God's speaking to all age groups. Who else? Over there. Thank you, young man. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Keep raising them, will you? Say, God's speaking to me. Anywhere. God bless you, young man. Amen. Here in front of me. There. All over this auditorium. Hold it high, will you? Thank you. Thank you. My God's speaking to a lot of men tonight, Dr. Falwell. That blesses my heart as well. Boy over here. God bless you, son. This lady over here. Thank you. How many more? We've seen 25 at least. Want to get saved, get right with God, or have God take these things out of my life. Who else? Slip it up, will you? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you over there. Yes, thank you. We could keep on. Wait. I've got something and it's not a trick. I never do this, as you know, you've been here every night. How many young people from 11 to 21 can say there is no drinking, tobacco, or drugs, dancing, rock and roll music, or Hollywood movies in my life? I'm not doing any of these things. And I can stand as a testimony saying I'm happy without these things. I don't care what church you're from. If these things are not in your life, be honest, God knows, would you stand as a testimony from 11 to 21? God knows, be honest. Amen, Pastor. That says a lot for your church and preaching. Sometimes you can't even get three young people in a whole church to stand. Great number standing tonight for the amount who are here. All right, keep standing as a testimony. How many from 11 to 21 will say, Jack, I cannot stand because of one thing? It may be the music. It may be something else. But I'm asking the Lord to take this thing out of my life, and I really mean it. Would you stand now from any church, 11 to 21? Amen. Amen. Keep standing. Amen. From 11 to 21. Jack, I want the Lord to take the dance out, the movies, the rock and roll, whatever it is, smoking, many other things. Come on. From 11 to 21. You may be from another church or from this church. Just stand. Jack, this music, I'm through with it. I'm through with it. Would you stand? Or something else? Keep standing. Anyone else? Father, look at our hearts, meet our needs tonight in a tremendous way in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep standing. Listen. Counselors, be very careful tonight because some young people may come to quit something
and they're not born again. So in every case, say, are you saved? Don't be offended if you're asked that. We just don't want to deal with a teenager on the basis of quitting something when the real need is receiving the Savior. All right? You don't get saved by quitting things. When you are saved, the Lord helps you.